chapter 13. Yes? You're cued for this? Huh? Were you notified that this is what we're going to be speaking about? No. Okay. In my previous visits, did we cover any of chapter 13 or no? Huh? So rather than repeating those first few verses, probably you should just pick up where I left off. Do you recall which of those verses? You want to take a look? For those of you that are familiar with chapter 13, what are the theme messages of chapter 13? What are some of them, one by one? Theme messages of chapter 13. Huh? You're recalling. What's that? Not to take family members too seriously. That's the message? I can't hear you. To take to Krishna consciousness seriously. You must be reading a different chapter than I'm reading. Yes?
Receiving the sadhu.
Receiving sadhu. And what else?
Developing a sense of urgency. Developing a sense of urgency to become.
Developing a sense of urgency to become Krishna conscious. The message of a sadhu. Receiving a sadhu, the message of a sadhu. And what's the message of the sadhu? Let's see if we match what I just negated over here. What's the message of the sadhu? Yeah. Points. You see the distinction? Major themes. Yes. Yudhisthira Maharaj's gratitude to Dhritarashtra. Okay, well, what's an application? What's the theme? What's the message behind? The character of Yudhisthira Maharaj, maintaining principles of religion with genuine respect and genuine gratitude, regardless of the external circumstances. Any other major themes? Yes.
Huh?
Gandhari's asceticism.
Chastity.
The chastity. So the principle is, that's a When I say theme, that's not the storyline. Theme is the message behind the storyline. So the message behind that storyline is one of the qualities of a good wife is her faithfulness and chastity to her husband. It's not good to distract. It's not good to. Yeah. So it's good to not do what? Yes, it has multiple parts to it, but that's one of those, one of the parts. Specifically, not discourage them on the basis of our own attachment on the temporary platform. Yes. Sure. Yeah, and what's the third one? Yeah, you named two of them. What's the third one? You all speak so softly. Parivijakacharya. That's the second one, right? Dira, Parivijakacharya, Narottama.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the storyline. What's the theme that's behind that storyline? Just take the names out and express it in a... The sage attempts to bring one? Okay, sage attempts to bring one closer to his original spiritual identity. Saintly person. Okay, saintly person. That's the message of a sadhu. Same. Okay, I think we've... Text 5. So, in previous visits, it had seemed to me that I had done this, but I couldn't remember how far I got. Oh, there's my notes. Right in the book. Posted. So the chapter opens with Vidura, after receiving knowledge from Maitreya, he returns to Hastinapur and he's received. So receiving a sadhu. How does one become a sadhu? That's another. And another GBC godbrother, Krishnaraj, right after our GBC meetings, he goes there immediately, like the day after our meetings, just to give some association to that temple for the same reason, because the reception is so nice. Wants to go again and go again and go again. Just and spread the word. These people, these devotees are, they're so nice how they receive a visitor. It's a cultural point, but it's a Krishna conscious cultural point that particularly when it comes to a sadhu, or you're using the word a saintly person, it's especially important. But in all cases, that this culture should be, people should be received very, very warmly. And not only one gets a good reputation instead of the other kind, but particularly with the sadhu, it opens one's heart to receive the message of the sadhu. And the disposition of that saintly person is to share more and to give more. Just the mood is not necessarily more quantitatively, but the giving and the receiving opens. Part of the training that Prabhupada gave is that Brahminical culture is such that, which means Vaishnava culture also, is such that even if one's enemy comes to the door, one receives that person in such a way that their concerns are gone, any tension that might be there is just gone. It's culture. Culture is a manifestation of Krishna consciousness in a deeper sense. Culture can be just a load of goodness, but in a deeper sense it's resting on a natural quality of the soul. So respectable, well-trained brahmanas and kshatriyas particularly, they were very very expert in this. And in this case, Prabhupada is explaining it was spontaneous because they all had such affection for the Guru. And the circumstances of his departing were terrible. And his long absence, They all missed him so much. Dhritarashtra included. Maybe even Dhritarashtra in particular. Mahabharata describes that he had become so accustomed to receiving. Now, Vidura wasn't in the Kshatriya position. He was respected as a member of the royal family, but he wasn't a king. But he always spoke with great wisdom. And his speaking finally induced Dhritarashtra to speak. That he gave three different examples. I can't remember the details of them. One of them was when Prahlad Maharaj was asked by one Brahmin, the person's names, who between the two of us is superior? And Prahlad was silent. Bali Maharaj and a Brahmin, I think those were the, anyway, grandson and, I can't remember. And he was silent. He said, so if you don't speak at all, you'll be condemned to hell, bound by ropes 1,000 times, something, something, and 1,000 celestial years are passed before one of those ropes is removed. And And if you speak wrong, same thing will happen. You can't say nothing. You can't say the wrong. You have to say the right something. That's the duty of person in the royal order. Then he gave another example, and he put it on Dhritarashtra. You're the person that's in the position, and you could check this whole thing. So you should speak. And he didn't exactly answer Draupadi's question, but he was moved by Vidura's words. Vidura had said, what has happened so far is so outrageous, so that the offense is so great. What Dushasana has done and what Duryodhana has done, just in this one incident, it's going to destroy the core of a race. And Dhritarashtra understood he was right. And so the words that he spoke was, he asked Draupadi to request of him any benediction she wanted. And the benediction that she requested was that Yudhisthira be released from this bondage of being the subordinate to Duryodhana and his brothers. And Dhritarashtra said, so be it, ask for another benediction. One is not enough. I want you to take another one. Then she said, then my other husbands, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, should also be released from this bondage of being the property of the Kauravas. He said, very well, so be it, ask for another one. She said, no, it's not proper to ask for three. When it's considered in scripture greedy if one takes three benedictions, two is enough. Just the virtue of my husbands will establish things in the proper order. That alone will be done. So he sent them back to their kingdom. But Dhritarashtra, they all were very much affectionate upon Vidura. And absence make the heart grow fonder. And he was absent a long time. And one might think, 30 years, they might just have forgotten him. But the attachment wasn't quite like that. As you can imagine, if Srila Prabhupada came back to Vrindavan. Or something. Vidura had not exactly the same, but he had a very profound relationship with all the members of the royal family. And so his return was not just ceremoniously and culturally properly done. Here we're hearing it was like life came back into the body, like consciousness. So it's like consciousness, like the soul leaving the body and it's coming back. Due to anxieties and long separation, they had cried out of affection. King Yudhisthira then arranged to offer sitting accommodations and a reception, so certain protocols and formalities were done. It doesn't give all the detail, but after Vidura ate sumptuously and took sufficient rest, he was comfortably seated. Then the king began to speak to him, and all who were present there listened. Part of the qualifications of a great personality is grace. And that's it's not something that you can purchase off the shelf. I'll take one order of grace, please. Then you have grace. It comes from a great soul. Just he was able to in so many different situations. He was very discerning in what was right, and he knew how to properly present himself and his words, and in such a way that it was just perfectly appropriate for the circumstance. Prabhupada writes, Yudhisthira was expert in reception. Just like Grandfather Bhishma, he was so expert in reception that even he couldn't move, everyone is satisfied that they were properly received by him. So that doesn't come just that did not happen by extending protocols in Grandfather Bhishma's case, because he was unable to. Still, everyone felt satisfied. So it was behind protocol. My point is this: a deeper consciousness or a very strong, genuine mood of devotion. That's what's satisfying. That was the comment of this temple president that was visiting in Tirupati. He said, obviously these devotees have been very well trained, because their leader was not there. He was sick and indisposed. Still, they knew just what to do, and it was done with such care and affection that it was not the result of just giving them the do's and the don'ts, or saying the same thing a different way. We're not the International Society for Behavior Modification Incorporated. We're the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Krishna Consciousness has certain behaviors, certain achar. And when the consciousness is there, the achar will be there. And the prachar will be there. So we want to be attentive to proper achar and prachar. But more importantly, or fundamentally, is the Krishna consciousness that it rests upon. The qualities that we carry, not only the behaviors that we render. So, Prabhupada makes the point, even Vidura was a family member. There wasn't familiarity because, oh, you're a family member. Nice to see you. There's your room. I'm busy right now. I'll speak to you later. Everyone stopped what they were doing in the case of Vidura to receive him. And it was their leader, Yudhisthira being the elder of the Pandavas, and the religious principle saying that the elder of the brothers is respected like father or spiritual master or guide. So they always observed that etiquette, even when it was very, very difficult. Vidura was well received by all the family members by exchange of embraces and obeisances. After that, bathing and arrangements for a sumptuous dinner, rest, then comfortable seating place, speaking. That is the proper way to receive a beloved friend or even an enemy. Okay, so here's this. Even an enemy received at home should be so well received that he will not feel any fearful situation. So is a cultural point. And once again, culture rests on Krishna consciousness. There's a loss of culture. When there's a loss of Krishna consciousness, there'll be a loss of culture. And to revive culture, you can try the externals. It's not enduring. So what did Maharaj Yudhisthira say when he first spoke? You've all read this chapter many times. What did he speak about? First thing? He did what? He asked about Krishna and the Yadu dynasty in Dwaraka. The first thing that he did, he spoke kind words to him. He did speak on that. You recall? That's nice. What's the translation? That's not, you're ahead of yourself. Not yet. I'll read. It's a cultural point. It's speaking kind words. First thing. So this is kind words, but recalling the very wonderful deeds of that person that makes them so much appreciated by us. So what was the particular set of deeds that Vidura was always engaged in doing? He was always engaged in protecting, like, what's the metaphor? Like the wings of a bird, protecting little birds. You ever any experience with big birds protecting little birds with their wings? No? You have? I have. This metaphor bears a lot of meaning for me. I'll just tell you a little personal story. Little anecdote. I was visiting a family in kind of a rural setting in upstate New York, and the family was very much into taking care of different kinds of animals, you know, goats and this and that, and just animal husbandry, it's called. So along with the fenced in area for the, you know, all the animals. They had a nice pond, there was goose. The goose had just given birth to some little baby geese or something like that. A big one. And so I just went over to see all the little geese and how cute they are, and I got too close. So she raised her head, her tongue went and her head stretched out and started chasing. And I started running. And she kept following. And the little geese were following behind her. And, you know, I had to jump up on the step and, you know, I was looking for something to, like, you know, brandish so that the goose would leave me alone. She just came to the edge of the step and made that hissing sound. Don't come near my geese, with her wings spread out like that. So when I read this verse, your partiality like the wings of a bird saved us from poisoning and arson. Do you remember how you always protected us? along with our mother, from all sorts of calamities. Your partiality, like the wings of a bird, saved us from poisoning and arson. So the poisoning, he was directly, you know this whole narration, the poisoning? After the there were several times when the Pandavas were alone in the forest. The first time was when they were first born, just because Pandu, although he was the king, he just liked the countryside more than he liked the royal palace, and so he lived in the countryside with Kunti and Madri. And it was in that, in the countryside situation, where the five Pandavas were conceived and born, not in the royal palace. And after some time, the curse that had been made upon Pandu fructified. He died. And when he died, then both Madri and Kunti, being very faithful and attached to Pandu, wanted to enter into his funeral pyre. But then they had this discussion, both of us can't do that because one of us has to take care of these five boys. And so it was arranged that Madri would enter into the fire and Kunti would take care of the five boys. And being the boys were by that time young, not like children, but young men. I don't know what their age was exactly. I would guess teens or something like that. You know, strongly built young men. So they came back to Hastinapur. And when they came back to Hastinapur, everybody was so happy to see them. Even Gandhari, although she had wished that her sons would be born first, and therefore her sons would be the inheritor of the throne because her husband was the firstborn of the brothers, her son, had her sons been born first, they would have become the king. Anyway, so that didn't happen, and she was still very, very happy to see Kunti and her five glorious sons. But as time passed, the physical stature of Bhima and the unsuperable strength of Bhima, his playfulness, because he was just a young boy, he would just pick the other boys up and toss them around, and just, you know, so many things just began to bring out the lower nature of Duryodhana very quickly. So he developed a conspiracy to kill Bhima. And the plan was that he would poison him. But he would poison him in such a way that it looked like he had drowned. And so nobody would know. I guess they didn't have, what do you call it when somebody dies, to check the cause, the reason why they died? Huh? A coronary? Coroner? To check the cause of death. Anyway. So he attempted to poison him. And it wasn't successful. This is a long, detailed story. It wasn't successful. Because when he gave him enough poison to kill 100 men, and his body didn't even respond to it. So he got a little groggy at night after tossing everybody in the water and jumping in the water and splashing them with wave that would just completely cover their face. Just made Duryodhana even more angry. But then he got drowsy in the evening, and so he and Dushasana tied him up, rolled him into the Ganges, and the celestial Nagas bit him with a poison that neutralized the plant poison that was fed to him. And so he regained consciousness and just moved his body, and all the ropes burst. He started fighting with the Nagas and throwing them around and killing them. And they all went to Vasuki, their Naga king. "You got to do something. This powerful human came into our realm and he's killing so many of our members, and please come quick." So Vasuki and one of his chief ministers or advisors named Arka, who previously had been on earth as a human and somehow was the great grandfather of Kunti, and he recognized his great grandson Bhima. "Oh Bhima, how nice to see you. We should give him a royal reception." So Vasuki was happy for that. He was able to... One of the things with the Nagas is they can assume different forms. So he switched from his Vasuki form to his human-like form. And then... So anyway, there's many details. Meanwhile, when Bhima didn't come back to the summer home, they thought he must have gotten tired because he's been so playful all day long. He must have gone back to Hastinapur. So they went back to Hastinapur the next morning. And when they got to Hastinapur, Bhima wasn't there. So everyone became very anxious, especially his mother. Because he's just, you know, like a teenage boy. He didn't come home. And so who did Kunti go to? Vidura, because she wanted advice what to do. And Vidura's words, just hearing from Vidura, removed all of her anxiety. That's the nature of having faith in a saintly person. Vidura said, "Don't you recall when these boys came back from to Hastinapur after being with you and Pandu in the forest for so long?" He said, "These men will not be defeated by anyone, and they will live a very long life." So, the words of Vyas can never be wrong. So have no anxiety. Bhima is somewhere safe. Don't worry. And just hearing Vidura say that, her worry went away. Now, we can sometimes give somebody advice. "Don't worry, it's going to be all right." May last for a few seconds, a few minutes maybe. But we're not Vyas either. And Vyas is Trikalakya. He knows. So his statement is truth. And Vidura knew, Vidura had all confidence in Vyas. And Kunti had all confidence in Vidura. So it's not exactly that Vidura protected the Pandavas from poison, but he was involved in the whole thing. He certainly protected them from the situation of arson. After they came back, after Bhima came back, because it had been a week that he was gone from the royal palace, and everyone was, the Pandavas were in great anxiety, and of course Duryodhana and Dushasana thought, ha, 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 one down and four to go. And then when he came back, they were so surprised. And one in the 101st, 101st son of, because Dhritarashtra had 100 sons, or Gandhari had 100 sons, and then there was another son. What was that other son's name? Somebody know his name? You're not sure. So that other 101st son informed Bhima, watch out, he's going to try it again, his brother. Because Bhima had been told by Vasuki the whole murder plot. So when he came back, he told all his brothers, he tried to kill me. And there were different responses. But Yudhisthira said, don't say anything. We just come back. We don't have any position of strength. We have no alliances. Just watch your backside. And then when this information came, Bhima said, ha! Let him bring the poison. So Dhutura was the poison that he used the second time. And he just, not one effect on Bhima. He poisoned everything. Not any effect at all. So after some passage of time, the Pandavas, the advisors of the Kaurava dynasty indicated, now that Yudhisthira is back, you should be crowned prince regent, meaning the incumbent king. And the Kaurava advisors all agreed. And so that with the information was, recommendation was brought to Dhritarashtra, who conceded it was the right thing to do. How could he say no? But then privately, Dhritarashtra called one of his principal Brahmin advisors and asked his opinion. The Brahmin advisor's opinion was, if you crown him prince regent and he stays here, all power will go to him even before he becomes king. Your power will be diminished. The diplomatic thing to do would be to arrange crown him prince regent, but arrange for him to be situated elsewhere. And in that circumstance, situated elsewhere, you can then do what you need to do. And so Dhritarashtra liked that idea, and then Duryodhana liked the idea even better. Let's send him to a place that we can kill them. And he conspired with his father. His father first resisted, but after various persuasions, including that Dhritarashtra would be brought into a position of insignificance. Now he was like the king. Although he was blind, he couldn't be officially the king, but he was like the king. And the Pandavas would reduce that stature of Dhritarashtra to insignificance. So he was feeding his, what he knew was is in his father's heart, the jealousy of wishing that he could be the king. And he also said that I wouldn't be able to bear, living with the Pandavas ruling. So you better agree to this proposal, let's kill them. He finally relented. Duryodhan played upon the lower nature of Dhritarashtra. Although Dhritarashtra has a higher nature, as is shown at the end of the chapter, with good association, the higher nature came out. Bad association, the lower nature came out. So Vidura knew the whole plan. He's in the royal family. He knew the whole conspiracy. And he calculated very carefully. Just to send them away, without the arson part, to send them away Ashvatthama was calculating. He's my closest ally, and his father has such affection for him. Ashvatthama's father is Dronacharya. Dronacharya won't oppose his son. And Drona has married Kripa's sister. Is that right? And so Kripa won't go against Drona. And all that's left is Vidura. Vidura's going to give us trouble no matter what anyways. But he's just one person, what can he do? Let's make this arrangement for them to go elsewhere. So as they were making the arrangement to go elsewhere, Yudhisthira understood, but what can he do? And although Bhima had a different idea and Arjuna had a different idea, he didn't like their different, he didn't agree with their different ideas. He said, we'll just go. We'll see what their plan is. So Vidura informed them of the plan as they were leaving to go to this summer palace and a summer resort area in Aborigine language dialect. He explained indirectly what the situation was. Does anybody recall what those words were? Something about if there's an attempt to kill one with weapons other than steel, if one knows about it, one will not be harmed. Something, he spoke indirectly. And Yudhisthira understood. He said, I understand. Nobody else understood. They're going down the path. Kunti asked, what did he say? I couldn't follow any of it. And then he explained. And then, you know, Bhima wanted to, let's go right back and, you know, let them have it. So they listened to Yudhisthira. He said, no. And then somebody came who was formerly a digger of tunnels for a miner who dug tunnels. And he said he was sent by Vidura to dig a tunnel so they could escape. And Yudhisthira was thinking, who knows, maybe this is just another one of Duryodhana's tricks. So, but he repeated the same message that Vidura had spoken when they were leaving Hastinapur, so then he could understand. And immediately he began, he even gave the date on the new moon night. In 2 weeks' time, Purochana is going to come and set the fire. So the tunnel was dug, and then when they set the fire, when they went on the other side of the tunnel, headed for the river, there was another person, a boatman, waiting. He was set there by Vidura. And he had been there for weeks and weeks, every night, just waiting for the Pandavas to come. So the wings of the bird just expanded to give protection to the Pandavas at every step, advising Duryodhana, don't do this, you're going to lose because one who lives by immorality, this is the theme of the Bhagavatam, without the precise words that he spoke, but virtue will always prevail, and your son is wicked and you're supporting him, you have to stop him. It's your duty as a father to check this immorality, this wickedness. And you don't do that and everything will be lost. Everything that you're so concerned to protect, it'll all be taken away. You can't be victorious on this platform. Do the virtuous thing. These are the inheritors of the throne. Give them the throne. Why are you involved in murder plot instead? So the first words that were spoken were reminding one another of why our feelings for you are so It's not like, you know, let's reminisce over the good old times we used to have together. Although people sometimes do that when they get together. These are the reasons why we have such affection and high regard and esteem for you. You've always been so kind, so affectionate, always giving us protection, because they had no father. He was playing that role in the absence of his Apandu, their father, and Grandfather Bhishma also. Then practical things. You know, it's like somebody might say, how's your health? How's your travels been? How was your flight, Maharaj? Oh, it was wonderful. While traveling on the surface of the earth, how did you maintain your livelihood? Because he was being maintained, treated like a member of the royal family. He just left. And he's so like a mendicant. How did it work? Were you taken care of? What were the arrangements that provided for your requirements? At which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? Prabhupada's comment that, you know, he relates the incident of Vidura's being insulted by Duryodhana as being the son of a Shudrani. So Vidura's mother, although a Shudrani, was the grandmother of Duryodhana. Like maternal uncle, maternal grandmother, maternal grandfather, maternal grandmother. And funny talks are sometimes allowed between grandmother and grandchildren. But because the remark was an actual fact, it was unpalatable talk to Vidura, and it was accepted as a direct insult in which it was intended. He therefore decided to quit his paternal house and prepare for the renounced order of life. So this is one of the themes of the chapter, of leaving at an appropriate time, in an appropriate manner, in an appropriate consciousness, the affairs of family life, and taking up the next stage of life. In Vidura's case, it was vanaprastha, in order to prepare himself for sannyas. And what is one of the customary things of vanaprastha is exactly what Vidura did. He just went from pilgrimage place to pilgrimage place. Another is just live in the vana and undergo tapa. Therefore, vanaprastha. But going to pilgrimage places, and specifically hearing from persons who reside in those holy places. Then we'll just end with this next verse, this famous verse. Bhavadvidha. Go ahead, do it again. My dear Lord, devotees like your good self are? Yeah. holy places personified. Why? Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Famous verse. Devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. One goes to a holy place, Prabhupada explains, to get purified, and saintly persons go to holy places to purify the holy places. And so when a saintly person comes to one's door, then it's even better than going to a holy place. The holy places come to your door. The quantum of mercy is even greater. And it provides an opportunity to render some service, and it provides some opportunity, as when going to a holy place, to through that service, through contact with the holy place, to become purified and to hear. Certainly, this is in the whole of the theme of the Bhagavatam. It's in the principal category. It's in the category of a principal theme, that of Bhagavad Dharma is made up of hearing and chanting Krishna Katha, hearing and discussing Krishna Katha. So these are words expressed in receiving the sadhu and recognizing the specific features that a sadhu represents. They specifically were appreciating the kindness of Vidura. Yudhisthira is doing that. How he was protective. How did you maintain yourself? Where did you go on pilgrimage? You yourself are personified place of pilgrimage. Prabhupada writes, pure devotees, he's speaking about, are in the actual service of the Lord specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage. And the holy places are worth their name on their account. So holy places are maintained their merit as holy places because of the saintly persons that are attracted to those holy places and the services that they render there. That's Prabhupada's statement. Of course, a genuine holy place like Vrindavan or Mayapur, something like that, Dwarka, Jagannath Puri, naturally saintly people reside there, but there's saintly, the sanctity of them exists on its own, but still super sanctity or something like that. The benefit of going to a holy place minimally is sins are eradicated. Going there, bathing there, just touching the dust from that sacred place. One's relieved of reactions to so many sins. But the message of the sadhu, that purification takes place also just by contact with the sadhu, but more. They're transcendental topics. Krishna Katha. This is a Bhagavad Dharma theme. Very, very outstanding, prominent theme. Okay. Any discussion? Those of you that are, have heard this chapter again and again and again. Yeah. Even he knew of which danger, please? He was confident that Krishna would make some, Krishna's protection would be there. And Vidura had given him the clue how it would be orchestrated, when it would be orchestrated, so they knew they just had to make some arrangement. And in fact, Vidura sent the arrangement, tunnel arrangement. So the risk wasn't so great. They knew what the plan was, they knew when it would be executed, so they could prepare. And what were his options? He looked at the options that were being presented. Let's go back and do battle. He wasn't ready for that. Let's make alliances with other kings. We need some more time. It was his diplomatic choice. There's other things in the Mahabharata that, you know, that one chooses one's battles wisely, not just in terms of strength, but also in terms of religious principle or the right principle. In this case, the reasons that he gave was they were just politically prudent. That time. Anything else? Able to achieve a proper, respectable birth.
If they are not able to properly respect in the civil assembly.
So, what's your question? What should we do? Properly receive. That's what you should do. You have another choice? You say, please don't come. It's like someone saying, I don't think I should chant because when I chant, I'm not chanting purely, I'm making offenses, and so I shouldn't chant. Or, you know, I'm not free from sinful activity. I've heard that one. I can't control this, that one, or that one. Although I'm trying, I don't have it in control, and so I shouldn't chant because I know that this is one of the offenses, or it's one of the prohibitions, it's one of the regular principles, and I'm not able to do that, so I should stop chanting. But it's not just more number of rounds. It's an attitude of, with an attitude of, I want to overcome this. So you can do the same thing in this particular case. Chant more number of rounds. and do your best to receive sadhu properly. Caught you in your own chess move. By the same logic, you can apply the same logic. This is something that we're hearing. It'll bring great benefit. So let me do, and while I'm getting great benefit, I may be doing it less than perfectly. And so any activity, there's some fault, right? So what do? Every activity is covered with some type of fault. We try to minimize that, and if possible, eradicate that. And we chant the holy name. With the understanding that whatever mistake I make is going to get neutralized, so I'm going to chant a lot. But so that I can get on the other side of this stage of imperfection. Except which?
His guidance very soon.
Who didn't?
Brothers of
Dhritarashtra. The brothers of Yudhisthira?
Yes.
Did they didn't accept his instructions well?
They couldn't accept his guidance.
Oh yes.
So what was the consciousness?
Religious. In one word. We accept because it's the right thing to do. The motivation of the mode of goodness is either one of two things. I do because it ought to be done. It is my duty. That's one. And another is, I do because it will purify. And I desire to become purified. So one desire is, I want to be situated in right conduct. And another is, I want purification from that right conduct. In one sense it's a fruitive mentality, but it's a mode of goodness fruitive mentality. It's not the fruitive mentality of I want something I can put in my pocket. It's I want to be freed from the mentality of I got to fill my pockets. I just want purification. And according to scripture, this is a means of purification, and therefore I'll follow. When Bhima was speaking in the assembly about Yudhisthira's act of gambling Draupadi, he spoke angrily at Yudhisthira. He made some kind of statement, I forget what it was, and Arjuna stopped him and said, he's our elder brother. think like this, what did it speak like this? Yes, you're right. I take it back, my apology. I just can't stand it. Wicked persons. And if Yudhisthira had not done that, we certainly wouldn't have gone along with it without his doing it, and his going along with it. Now we're in this, now Draupadi's being, I don't mind riches and position and kingdom, but Draupadi. But I have to check my anger towards Yudhisthira because of this religious principle. And it worked. The narration of Mahabharata as a theme is that one, in all circumstances, one should live their life according to theistic conduct. And good always wins over evil. It's the classic. Good wins over evil. Virtue will always predominate. Although it may look pretty harrowing at times. Anything else? Yes. What's the question? How does one? Sure. She had all faith in their virtue. That the situation was there because of he's a Kshatriya and he was requested to engage in competition, so as a Kshatriya he accepts the challenge or the request to engage in competition. He was just acting by religious principles. So she wasn't faulting what happened. And moreover, this is her quality. And her quality wasn't save my skin, it was save my husband's, which saved her skin. But it's not like that was her mentality. This is a clever way to save myself from a terribly embarrassing situation. It's like Prahlad. Take a benediction. Please deliver my father. Please excuse him for all of his misdeeds. Not thinking about himself. Kunti's not thinking about herself. She's not selfish. She has all faith in the quality of her husband's. Why does one receive a sadhu? why does one not receive a sadhu perfectly? You know the answer to that. Why is one in this material world? Why are there imperfections decorating one who is in the material world? We desire independent enjoyment. Simple answer. Okay. See the Prabhupada key?
Yes.